Next on BYUSN, live on a Saturday night from the BYU Fan Fest in St. George, Utah. Another loaded show filled with an A-list guest lineup from BYU football, including BYU head coach Kalani Sitake. We discuss BYU's activity in the transfer portal and the recent success on the recruiting trail.
BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff stops by, as will wide receivers Chase Roberts and Parker Kingston, to break down where the offense improved this spring. And linebackers Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker detailed their NFL aspirations and how BYU is handling expectations after last year's 11-win season.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation from St. George, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Hope you're enjoying your weekend. It is April 26th. I am Spencer Linton. We are specifically hanging out at Sandtown Park in St. George. Another BYU Fan Fest. Alongside the well-rested and very muscular and tan Jason Shepard, I am merely Spencer Linton. Jason, good to have you on the program, man.
Well, thank you. You've mentioned three things there. Only two of them may be correct. There is nothing tan about this person right here.
Oh, man. So. Okay, fair enough. We're back in St. George, and not surprisingly, BYU fans showing up in droves.
It barely started, and the amount of BYU fans already here is incredible. We know the type of BYU fandom down here in the St. George area and surrounding areas. This place is going to be rocking tonight.
They've been paying attention, the fans, as have we, to a very busy Saturday of headlines. Let's get you caught up to speed so you know everything that's happening in and around BYU sports, beginning with this. No BYU players selected in the NFL draft. Little shocker to us. We thought there might be two, with Tyler Batty and Caleb Etienne leading the way. They were in several notable mock drafts. Turns out that Batty signed an undrafted free agent deal with the Minnesota Vikings, who are in need of edge rushers. Good fit, it would seem. And we just learned Jacob Robinson has signed an undrafted free agent deal with the San Francisco 49ers. Today also marks the NBA draft early entry deadline. No announcement from Richie Saunders just yet. Will he test the waters, or will he just announce that he's coming back to BYU? We'll keep you up to date there. Dawson Baker announced officially he is returning to BYU men's basketball for next season. And by the way, Jason, that men's basketball team has moved up to number 2 in terms of overall recruiting class in the entire country after getting another key commitment from a 4-star transfer yesterday. You know the drill. We can't mention his name until he goes official with BYU, but it is out there on the social media platforms.
Yes.
Another 4-star headed to BYU. Number 2 recruiting class.
Number 2 recruiting class. The amount of talent coming into this program is insane, and by that I mean insanely good. All right, elsewhere, Lexi Halliday-Lowry ran the 6th fastest time in NCAA history, 2nd fastest in BYU history in the women's steeplechase. So congratulations to her. James Corrigan, Landon Heemeyer, and Isaac Hedegren go 1-2-3 in the men's steeplechase.
Steeple you.
That's right. Softball dropped the series finale this afternoon on the road at Baylor 8-5 after winning last night. And baseball will try and avoid being swept at Arizona State tonight. Coverage begins 9:30 Eastern time on BYU Radio and on ESPN+.
Those are your Saturday headlines. Now it's time to begin the A-list guest lineup here with BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake, who just arrived. He is now in St. George with us. Coach, welcome to St. George. A little bit warmer temperatures, and yet another warm welcome for you and BYU.
Yeah, this is awesome. I mean, this we should have just had the cruise end here somehow, you know. But having a lot of fun and looking forward to meeting all the fans here in the south part of our state.
All right, Kalani, forget Spencer right now. This is just you and me talking, okay?
Yep.
For about 8 days, you were on a ship. You could not get away from him. What are your thoughts on having to come and be interviewed by him one more time?
Well, my thoughts are that you admitted that you weren't tan in the opening
yes.
remarks, but that means that you're well-rested and you're muscular.
Did
everybody catch that?
Well, I'm not going to say that one's not true.
What a subtle way to like promote yourself. Amazing. You guys are awesome.
That was solid. That was solid, right?
That's upper level. That's like that intelligence level.
That's like chess. I caught on. Everyone's playing checkers.
Yes. That's amazing. No, I mean, guys, anytime we talk about BYU and football for me and basketball for KY and all those things that's happening with athletics. The cruise was amazing because we were able to see so many different areas and the variety of athletes and where they come from. And Cosmo was amazing as always. So anytime we can get them all together, it was a wonderful week. And I'm really looking forward to 2025.
We live in a very interesting time for collegiate athletics in general with the transfer portal and NIL. And then we find out that the roster cuts that we expected to go from 120 down to 105 are now being thrown a curveball. And there might be a grandfathering period. And so just in general, how are you handling just uncertainty of it all, Coach, because it feels like there's a new storyline, a new development every day. How has that been for you, learning about the changes and nuances this week?
Well, I mean, I think we went into it preparing for the 105 roster cut, and now that it doesn't look like that may be part of the deal, I just need to know if that's where we're going to get, because we talked about getting this team as deep as we possibly could, and then, having to think that we had to make some changes. It's a little frustrating, but, you know, it is. Everybody has to deal with it. It's not like, I hope that the other schools didn't have a heads up on it, but we're all in the same position now. But the fortunate thing, there's a lot of great players that want to be at BYU, and so we'll just deal with it however it comes. I mean, that's, we got to find a way to make it an advantage for us, and looking forward to it. I just wish they'd let us know ahead of time, and as soon as possible. That would be, you know, that'd be good for us and good for the student athletes.
There are obviously things that still can take shape before camp starts in the fall and the season begins. How do you view the roster as it stands right now? I've got some people that are committing. Obviously can't talk about any of those specifically, but you're bringing people in. Unfortunately, part of it is there are some that decide that they also want to leave, and there have been a couple of those announcements in the last little while. When you look at the roster as a whole, how do you feel about it right now?
I feel good about it. I mean, I'm not worried about the attrition's part of football. And so even the ones that you weren't expecting, it's okay. We have a lot of depth, and we understand what it takes. It's an opportunity for the next guys to step up. The fortunate part is that the cupboards are not bare. And so we know, we saw in spring, I think a lot of the players saw in spring that we have a talented group. But I don't even really talk about it. I just want people to see about it. You know, a lot of people didn't realize what we were going to be last year. I'd rather keep a little bit of the mystique of it all. Let's just wait and see. But I like the group. The most important thing is we have great leadership, and I think that they're going to take us, you know, exactly where we want to be. It's going to take a lot of work, though, between now and fall camp, and a lot of sacrifices had to be made. And I feel good about the leadership, though. I feel good about the mentality of our players.
Kalani Sitake, the BYU football head coach, is live on BYU Sports Nation from the St. George Fan Fest. The transfer portal is closed, but it's still very active because a bunch of players are in it. How active are you and this BYU staff looking to add certain players, and maybe what specific areas are you looking to still add in and bolster that depth?
Yeah, I think the key is to see if they fit not only on the field but off the field. They fit the culture of our program. That's the number one thing when we're trying to kind of vet and see what the young men are about, and sometimes just kind of wanting to know what their goals are. And so with all that being said, there's a lot of really good players that are in the portal, but just being a good player isn't going to work for us. We have to have a person that's going to help drive the culture, and that's what we're looking towards. I mean, there's a lot of really good young men there and that want to be at BYU. That's the really positive thing, is that we are feeling a lot of we're fielding a lot of calls and a lot of interest with people that are in the portal and they want to be at BYU. That's a good sign.
I know last year this team, and you guys talked about it as coaching staff, the players talked about it, just how much of a motivation it was to be overlooked in the Big 12 and where you guys were picked in the preseason poll and all the things that went along with that. I've got to imagine you're not going to sneak up on anybody this year, and now you've got everybody's attention because of the 11-win season. How does that change the dynamic heading into this year, knowing that in all likelihood you're going to be one of the upper echelon teams in the Big 12 in terms of preseason poll and almost the exact opposite of last year?
Well, they don't need to vote for us. I mean, that's okay. I think there's still a lot of room for improvement in our team. We had some really cool games last year, but, man, there are some moments that I know our guys wish they could have them back. And so the work is just to make sure that we can play at our best. We can live with whatever's – you've heard me say this. Whatever the result will be, we can live with it if we did our best. But doing our best isn't just game time. It's got to be the preparation, the lead up to the season, all those things that matter. It's all the little things that you got to prepare for. And Lavelle talked about the will to prepare is way more important than the will to succeed. So, and the will to perform. We'll have a lot more confidence if we take what President Nelson said and you know, put in charity and virtue into our program. That'll be allow us to take the next step.
That is certainly a big part of what you're trying to do and the culture you're trying to build and develop at BYU is with those attributes. Whatever you're doing along with that is apparently working because you've had a flurry of four-star players, whether out of high school or in the transfer portal, that have said, as you said, they want to be at BYU. To what do you attribute this flurry of high-level players? And some we can say their names, others we can't because they're not official with BYU, but the point is a number of four-star plus players are wanting to be at BYU. What has been the key component in driving that whole thing?
Well, there's not a lot of excuses now for young men to make up not to come to BYU. There's everything's in place. Before it was independence and didn't belong to a conference. Now we're in the Big 12. And the one thing that I know the recruits are really excited about is the big-time fan base. That's why we're here. There's great players in this area. You know, we want to make sure that they know we care about them. And obviously there's one in particular that I can't talk about, but the great players in this area, we have players that are from this area. We want to make sure to go hit all those spots and interact with the fans. The fans are the currency in our program. We want to make sure that the players understand that this is not about them. It's about the expectations that these fans have for us and our program.
You've had a little bit more time now to go back and look at even more of spring and how you guys performed. Overall thoughts coming out of spring and how big was the fact that you had so much production returning and that spring was more about maybe tweaking things as opposed to having to implement so much more? How much of a head start can that give you going into this year?
Well, I mean, going into it, I think offensively we felt a lot more comfortable with the returning leaders, and the install is not as much, and so you can kind of mess around with it a little bit. I think A-Rod and Fessy and them did that. Defensively, it's nice to have a system already in place that the guys have been working through the last couple of years. So we saw great competition throughout spring, and actually a lot more physical than I wanted us to be. But the thing that I liked is that the players were asking for it. With the competition, they needed more physicality to the game, and with the situation football that we were in, our guys asked for all those things, and they even came up with some ideas on what we need to work on, whether it's 2-minute offense or you know, goal line, short yard and stuff like that. That was mostly led by the players that wanted to see that improvement.
All right, Coach, before we let you go, we need to ask you about the NFL draft. It's happening right now. In fact, some of your guys are signing undrafted free agent deals, notably Tyler Batty with the Minnesota Vikings, Jacob Robinson with the San Francisco 49ers. We anticipate a handful more will have inked their deals. How is that for you to watch the NFL draft unfold, knowing that guys like Tyler and Caleb Etienne are disappointed for not being drafted, but they find homes? What's that like for you as a coach, and what advice do you offer to them?
Well, I'm a bit surprised because of all the conversations that our staff, myself, have had with all the interest that surrounds our players. And so I think when it comes to the draft, there's a lot of people that are disappointed in it. But these guys, I mean, when it gets to the point where 5th, 6th, 7th round, you'd rather go as an undrafted free agent so you can choose the best fit for you. Sometimes taking and being forced to go to a team that doesn't really need you. I mean, that happened with Rico when he went to the Chiefs. They already had a punter that they planned on bringing in and using, so he found a home, you know, with the Bengals, and he's one of the best punters in the NFL. I think the guys now with their agents can select the place that they'll of need and that they probably weren't able to get or get the best quality that they wanted in the draft, those franchise that they choose, and we'll see what happens. There's a lot of undrafted free agents that make the teams, and so that's if they get in the NFL summer. I anticipated more getting drafted probably from the third and fourth area rounds and from what we were hearing, but The draft was surprising for a lot of people, not just us.
Yeah. No doubt about that.
Yes, that was true.
Coach, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for putting up with me after the cruise, showing up at St. George and doing this again.
All I know is if you got free food and it's accessible for me, I'm a happy camper. So I know St. George has some places that we can eat at, so I plan on hitting them all. So, yeah, appreciate you guys. Cougar Nation, love you guys. Go Cougs.
The great Kalani Sitake on BYU Sports Nation. After the break, it's time to turn our attention to a couple of big-time linebackers. Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker join us to discuss their own NFL draft aspirations and their expectations for the 2025 season.
Well, the goal is always going to be the number one defense in the Big 12, and we did that this year. I expect next year to be better than this year.
And the 5, and why not? Isaiah Glasker chasing him down, tracking him down for the tackle. Jack Kelly.
The sack for BYU.
Yes, intercepted.
What a diving pick by Glasker.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live from the Fan Fest in St. George, Utah, Sandtown Park, alongside Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton. We just spoke with BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake. Now two of his star linebackers join the program. They are Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. Good to have you in St. George.
Thank you for having us.
All right, let's go ahead and start with this from the NFL draft. This question was brought up on BYU Sports Nation yesterday. Is the reason that Shedeur Sanders dropped in the draft so much because of what you and the linebackers did to him in the Alamo Bowl?
I love him passing over here.
Yeah. Jack's like, nope.
Got it. Yeah.
we played a good game. We prepared well for them, so I don't know. They kind of got what they had coming for them. Personally, that's how I feel, my personal opinion, but they're a solid team, and we always wish the best for all those boys, especially in the draft. So,
you know, I'll ask both of you. I mean, it's the NFL draft wrapped up today. You guys have NFL draft aspirations. What's this time like for you watching that, realizing it's not going to be very long before that's in your future?
I mean, it's kind of crazy, like, seeing Batty, J-Rob, them getting picked up, the other guys that are going to get picked up here soon, knowing that that could be us in a year, like you said. Obviously, we just got to keep working hard, building this camaraderie, building this team up, and playing to the best of our ability.
What is it like for you to watch your teammates, who you are so close with and you go to battle with, go through that whole process? Just from your vantage point, we'll start with you, Isaiah. What has it been like to watch those guys take on the whole NFL draft preparation process?
Well, really, you could just learn a lot from what they're doing. I feel like, especially with the training and everything, I don't know. See, I'm totally new to this process, and, like, having them as, like, an example, it helps me, like, prepare, for especially, like, next year when that's, like, a time I'm going to be trying to get to the draft. So, I don't know, just watching them, they're a great example of just what I need to do as myself, so.
How do you guys look back on spring? How do you feel it went for you guys individually, but also for the position group and the defense as a whole?
I think it went great. I think everyone improved. The new guys that came in, they all really bought into the whole thing and understood the playbook, played to the highest of their ability, and continued to build this culture that Kalani always talks about.
Over for you, Isaiah.
And then I didn't get the chance to play in spring ball. I just had surgery not too long ago. I had surgery on my wrist just from in the season, just had to get repaired, but so far, just basically watching the boys, I feel like our room, especially just as a linebacker core, it's very dominant, and we have, like, a lot of boys that can go out there and play. So especially watching these young guys come up making plays and stuff in spring ball, just showing what they can do, it's exciting to see what we can do this coming year. So
there's a lot of brotherhood and camaraderie in that linebackers room. So understandably, when you see a good friend of yours like Harrison Taggart enter the transfer portal and seek another place, There are mixed emotions. So you want the best for your brothers, and clearly he's chosen something else. But what is that like for both of you to watch what Harrison is doing, knowing that you're staying at BYU, but, again, and you wish him well? So how do you tackle that whole thing, no pun intended, emotionally?
Obviously, it's super hard. It's all love with him. He did what he needed to do at BYU. He balled out. He built and he bought into this program, but at the end of the day, it's what's best for him, and that's going to be somewhere else, obviously. But we have, like Isaiah said, we have a great linebacker core. People are going to step up. We have plenty of guys that are going to be able to come in and play that role.
Isaiah, how was that for you, that whole process, watching what Harrison went through?
But like he said, you kind of just have to do what you have to do for yourself. You got to see, like, I don't know, if that's the decision that you have to make, that's kind of what you have to do, and that's one of my boys, so obviously I'm going to support him regardless of what happens, so.
You know, and staying along that same line, not specifically with Harrison, but just in general, with the transfer portal being what it is, when you have a teammate that decides that's the direction that they want to go, because it is such an individual decision, do you guys try and change their mind? Do you talk to them, or do you just, because it's their decision, you just kind of leave them alone? How do you guys handle that?
I mean, you can kind of try to talk to them and understand their point of view, but at the end of the day, they probably already have their mind made up, and if that's what's best for them, we're going to support that. You don't want to, like, try to convince them otherwise and make them second guess themselves. Yeah. So you just kind of try to understand it and then encourage them along the way.
I'd probably say the same thing. Just kind of have to understand and then just encourage. I don't know. With his decision, I support everything that he's doing. If that's the decision that he's going to make, I just have to sit here and support him just because that's one of my brothers. So, I don't know. Regardless of what he does, he just knows that I'm always going to be there for him. So,
great teammates, great football players, Isaiah Glasker and Jack Kelly, two great linebackers as well, representing BYU football at the St. George Fan Fest. Okay, let's talk about who replaces Harrison Taggart there in the middle. Ciale Acera is the guy that I spent some good time with on the ship, on that cruise, and he talked about how excited he is to try and earn that spot. What do you two see from a guy like Ciale potentially stepping in that middle linebacker spot? Jack, we'll start with you.
He definitely got some reps at ones during the spring, and he stepped up when he needed to. He's a physical guy, has great speed. He's very coachable, and he works really hard. So I think he's going to do a great job of stepping in that role and continue to earn it.
Isaiah, what would you add to that about Ciale?
That dude's a dog. I'm just excited to see what he can do, really. He's super athletic, can move pretty well, especially as a linebacker and stuff. Him coming from, a D-end in high school. And so I'm really excited to see what he can do this year. So
that dude seems to talk a lot. Does he talk a lot on the field?
Most definitely.
Isaiah, when you look at what this team has coming back, high expectations after coming off of an 11-win season. It seems like it's night and day, the expectations and the amount of attention that's on this team now versus a year ago. Does that change expectations internally? How do you factor that in now that, for lack of a better term, you know, people have taken notice of what you guys are doing?
See, even last year, I knew what we could do. All of us, we knew the type of players we had on our team. And especially this coming year, we have a lot of young guys. And really, it's just holding people accountable. You know what I'm saying? We hold the people accountable, set the same standard that we had last year. We're going to be all right. So,
Jack, you guys aren't going to sneak up on anybody. Everyone's going to have BYU circled on the schedule this year, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. But like you said, it's kind of, we don't really buy into that too much, so we know what we could do, like Isaiah said, and we're just going to continue to trust in each other and play out the season.
Okay, we have to ask what you two are going to do away from football because, shocker, these guys actually have some free time and want to, like, break away from the game. But, Jack, we know you're an incredible BMX bike rider. We've seen videos of you dunking surface, okay? Isaiah, you clearly can dance. You had the swag on, the Alamo Bowl. So what do you two guys do to enjoy some off-season and well-deserved off-season time? Isaiah, we'll begin with you.
I like outdoors, so I'm always in the mountains doing something. Like, really, I'll probably say, like, skiing or snowmobiling, just anything really like that. Or, like, I'm a big roller skater as well. So.
What?
Roller skater?
Yeah, Jack, roller have you skate. Seen him roller skate?
I have not in person.
Yeah, no, every Thursday night I try to get out there, so, yeah.
Let's go.
Like with the music?
With the music, disco night.
Oh, yeah. Jack, you pulling backflips on a BMX bike in the off season?
No, my dad won't let me ride anymore, I wish.
Very good. Hey, well, we wish you the best, and again, just try and relax as much as you can. Can't wait for an exciting 2025 football season. As we let you go, what's your message to Cougar Nation about what they can expect from BYU football quickly as they head into their own offseason as fans? Jack?
I just say you're going to get a team that's going to be even better than last year. We're going to continue to build, and we appreciate all the support we get continuously throughout the year.
Isaiah?
I just want to let Cougar Nation know, man, we're always doubted, and we're going to stick together this season, come out with the, 9-11-2. We're going to... I'd probably say, we're going to get that natty, that Big 12 championship, for sure.
Yeah. Aim high.
Aim high.
Stars.
I love it. Hey, just you rock those shades, man.
All good.
No, I appreciate
Roller skates and shades.
Roller skates and shades is how we do it down in Provo. So
thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, we mentioned that there could be some updated information on BYU football players signing free agent contracts. We've got an update. Caleb Etienne signing with your Cincinnati Bengals.
Who day?
So the Cincinnati Bengals now have Caleb Etienne and Ryan Rico. All right, BYU baseball will look to pick up a win at Arizona State tonight in the series finale. Coverage begins 9:30 Eastern time on both BYU Radio and on ESPN+.
All right, the interview fast break continues after this group of short messages, beginning with safety Tanner Wall and kicker Will Farron. Big game Bill in the house in St. George. Where do they expect BYU to land in the Big 12 preseason poll? This is BYUSN.
And where there's a will, there is Tanner Wall at the pick. What a play! That's Tanner Wall, and that is exceptional.
The record-setting season continues for Will Farron.
Oh, yeah. Never a doubt.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Sandtown Park in St. George, Utah. It's another BYU Fan Fest. We have an A-list guest lineup of BYU football players, and the next two to join us, a dynamic duo, and unique in the fact that we have a safety and the kicker together. I don't know that we've ever done something like this, but here they are, Tanner Wall representing the safety group, and Big Game Bill, Will Farron, the kicker extraordinaire for the Cougars. Great to have you guys with us. Welcome to St. George.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Okay, let's, Tanner, begin with you. When you look over at Will Farron, what's the best thing that Will Farron brings to the BYU football
team? Oh, he's just automatic, you know. He's just that guy. You look at him, he gets his job done. He knows how to do it. There's never a doubt in any of our minds. It's like Will's out there, kicks going through the uprights, automatic, 3 points or 1 point. Don't even worry about it, so... That's how I feel about it.
Same thing for you, Will. When you watch Tanner on the BYU defense play, what's that like for you?
For Tanner specifically, I think his biggest thing is leadership. Like, even just in the offseason since the season ended, being able to look at Tanner and just, like, feed off his example or see how the guys just gravitate towards him is huge for our team. And I think a lot of guys have felt that in the last few months especially.
I think we get into this conversation a lot, but it's because – event after event, game after game, BYU fans just show up and they want to come and support. When you look around and see we're down here in St. George, all the BYU fans here, what does that tell you about the BYU fan base?
Shoot, man. I mean, we have the best fans in the country. I mean, we gotta point that out. But like, they're everywhere, right? Like, we've only met a few fans already, and they're from St. George. We met some from Beaver, like, you know, and they're from Vegas too, driving up here. So we have the best fans, and they're everywhere, and you know, they all show up to support us wherever we are.
It's so crazy. Like, just even having played at a couple schools, it's like there's nothing like it. We go to every away stadium and it's packed out of BYU fans. Or I remember when we played Arkansas a couple years ago, we're driving the buses in from the airport, and there's some random dude like mowing his lawn, and he's like, "Go Cougs!" Like, what is going on here? But it's cool, and we feel that everywhere we go. Like, coming down here, and it's like, few of these people I've talked to so far are from Utah County or Salt Lake or anything like that. They're all locals or coming from Vegas or coming from different places to hang out with us and get a part of the BYU brand. It's pretty cool.
Now, Will, on the regular, how often are you asked about the kick against the University of Utah?
Pretty often.
Guy just stopped him right here on the way over here.
So I'm going to talk to him about it afterwards.
Yeah, it's a regular thing for sure. Going to the mall or something, it's always like, thank you for the kick. And I'm like, yeah.
He asked me, he's like, how am I supposed to respond to that? I'm like, if you don't know by now, I don't know. Because he's probably, you're going to hear it for a long time.
Well, that puts you, though, in rarefied air to be the one that kicked that and to go into lore in terms of this BYU. You're aware of just how monumental that was, though, right?
I've become aware. I think in the moment I'm just playing a football game, and then after, I don't know, it might have been you, Spencer, that was like, or it was either you or Jerem. I was like, I don't know if you realize what just happened, but going to be talking about that forever.
Like, as long as there are highlights to be played, it will be played for BYU fans.
I may have pointed that out in our post-game interview. Do you realize what you just did?
That's when I'm like, oh, yeah, this is going to be big. Other than that, I'm just playing a game, so that's when I really got to recognize what really happened there.
Tanner, you're a super cerebral guy, very smart, and it's your job essentially as a safety to know where all your teammates are supposed to be on the field. Jay Hill relies heavily on you to do that, to get guys in their position. So, again, it requires a lot of mental fortitude. With that in mind, what do you think of the mentality it takes as you watch Will go out and kick in high-pressure situations like that?
You know, it's something that I've thought about a little bit. You know, we like to do those hypothetical questions, you know, with friends. Okay, what's a bigger moment than a walk-off kick at the end of a game with the clock running against your rival on the road? Like, what other scenario could you isolate a player in sports where it'd be similar to that, you know, where it's like a bottom of the ninth, you're at bat, you know, whatever. And I don't know that there you could find another situation where that amount of pressure amounts to one singular person. So just seeing and thinking about how much belief and confidence and trust in yourself, and like that positive level of thinking, you know, just knowing that you're going to go out there and put it through the uprights, you know, I think that's something that Will's really, really mastered. And, you know, I think, you know, the mental aspect of his game really plays into how he plays too.
Don't you think, though, that the mental side and the attention that it's given from outside in, but also from you guys as players yourself and investing in yourself on the mental side, I think that's one of the things that has evolved the most in recent years is the focus on the mental side. Would you guys agree with that?
100%.
Absolutely.
I think when I first got to BYU and started meeting with a mental performance coach, my first time meeting with him, he was like, "What percent of your game do you think is mental?" And I'm like, "Oh, 70, 80 plus, I don't even know." And he's like, "So what percent of the time preparing are you spending on the mental side?" And I'm like, "A lot less than that."
I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and since then, it's really been a priority for me where it's like, I got to develop this side of the game. So in those moments, it's preparation brings confidence. So being able to adequately prepare for moments like that is everything.
Love that.
All right, Tanner, let's push on to now what's ahead in 2025. Because as we pointed out several times, and you and I talked about it on several panels on the ship in our recent cruise, this is a BYU team that has the nation's attention. It has the Big 12 Conference's attention. So where do you get the chip on your shoulder this year? Like, what is the impetus for putting the chip back on your shoulder when you are now a respected team?
Yeah, I think it goes back to reflecting on how close we were to accomplish something really special last season. You know, not to discredit all that we did accomplish, right? 11-2 season. You know, we won a big time bowl game, and you know that was great for us coming, you know, in our second year in the Big 12. But really looking at how close we were to something much, much greater than that. And so I think just looking back and saying, okay, if we get that opportunity, which we're going to create that opportunity for ourselves, we're not going to let that slip from our fingertips like we did last year.
So well said. So great to talk with you both. Hey, are you ready for our little walk-off moment of this interview?
Oh, we absolutely. Got big news.
We just got some breaking
big
news.
Big news.
Big news,
everybody.
Your guy, Richie Saunders, just announced he's returning to play basketball.
Oh, let's go. Hoops.
Richie's
Rick.
Back.
He's back.
The king of tots.
Tater tots for everybody. Right. Not quite the walk-off that we had in Salt Lake City, Will. And I got work to do in my own mental preparation as well. So
thanks, hey, guys.
Thanks to both of you. You're awesome.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Glad, fun to be here.
Got it. All right, Jason. Feeling good?
I'm feeling great. Look, we thought maybe there was a chance Richie at least puts his name into the draft to test it.
He's back.
Yeah, Richie is coming back.
All right,
still to come. Wide receivers Chase Roberts and Parker Kingston detail how the offense is building off last season and what BYU's motivation is heading into 2025. This is BYU Sports Nation.
To Chase Roberts, stays in bounds, touchdown!
He's one of the best receivers BYU's had ever.
Kingston there, Kingston touchdown!
Chase. Parker Kingston has gone to another level as well.
I like our receivers. The guys we have played a lot of football and they're good players.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from the BYU Fan Fest. We are at Sandtown Park in St. George, Utah. Temperatures in the low 70s, little breezy. but the fans have shown up to welcome a slew of BYU high-level athletes. And we continue our interviews now with a couple of standout wide receivers, Chase Roberts and Parker Kingston, on the desk. Welcome to the show in St. George, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
All right. Let's just go ahead and start with the idea that you can drive 3.5, pushing 4 hours, depending on how fast you drive, down to St. George and be received like this. What's this like for you to come and do this again, Chase?
It's amazing. Wherever we go, there's always BYU fans. On the drive here, we stopped in Beaver and we heard a "Go Cougs," you know, like Chase Parker. So it's just amazing. All the BYU fans everywhere. They're so loyal and awesome, and they love us, and we just feel it, you know. And it's a special place to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. Everywhere we go, there's a sea of blue wherever we are. I mean, now every time we go out, like after having that great season, everyone's always talking. So it's awesome to be at BYU.
So the last couple of days, the NFL draft has been going on, and you know, like most people, can't get enough of it. Just glued to the TV, and you know, you're watching the first round of the NFL draft, and it just happens that Jackson Dart gets drafted by the New York Giants, and who do we see at the watch party? Parker, Isaiah, what was that like to be a part of that night for Jackson and sort of experience what that emotion is like?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I mean, we were there. We were, like, always wondering, like, oh, who's going to call whenever. But it was super awesome to see him get drafted in the first round. I know all his hard work that he's put in, and it's paid off. I've known him for such a long time, so it's awesome to see him get drafted, and he deserves the world for it.
Okay, well, since you said it was kind of cool to see the behind the scenes, you two will be able to experience this one day. These two will not. So let us know when did they get the call and how close to the call before it's announced? Like, what was some of those behind the scenes details?
Yeah, we were, I think it was like the two picks before his. There were, like, everyone started whispering and stuff that, like, the Giants were trading up at, like, trading in. And right as they picked the 24th pick, you turn around and Jackson starts walking up on the phone call and sat down on the couch with his family. And it was just such an awesome moment.
Very cool.
Now let's recap your connection to him. There's a Roy connection there with you and Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
So when did you meet and thus end up at his draft party?
Yeah, so I actually played flag football with Jackson way back when we were like 4 and 5 years old. And then he lived in Syracuse, I lived in Layton, so we still had a connection there, and then I went out to Roy and played with him there. So
Chase, staying with the draft theme, you had a choice to make.
Yeah.
This could have been a year where you went into the draft. You decided to come back. As you watch the draft, does it get you excited about being able to play one more year, and then it's going to be your time to do that?
It does. You know, it got me excited to one day hear my name called, and that's the goal. That's the ultimate goal, and I felt coming back one more year was the best opportunity I have to do that at, you know, at the right time. So one more year at BYU is going to be the best thing, and I'm super excited. You know, there's a lot of prayer that went into it, a lot of other things with having Jake back, Parker, and but ultimately I'm just excited to play another year with my family at BYU and be around the fans. That's what I'm most excited about. And then the draft will take care of itself once that time comes around.
Obviously, you watched one of your good friends recently enter the portal in Keelan Marion.
Yeah.
And he's a dynamic, versatile talent. And never easy to lose a teammate like that. So where does BYU go from here in trying to replace those type of stats and the production that Keelan now leaves a void for?
Yeah, I feel like we were deep before Keelan left. So I think we're still a deep wide receiver room, and you see our starting three and the guys that are coming in after, and I don't think anyone's like, oh crap, we need a big guy to come in. Like, we're fine. Like, we're gonna have a great season with this squad. We might bring in another transfer that is developing and you know, get some playing time this year, and so that's the plan for now, and we'll probably bring in one or two guys that'll get some reps, but for now, we're confident in, I think, the room that we have now.
Yeah, Parker, what'd you add to that?
Yeah, I mean, it just gives me more of an opportunity this year to show what I can do at kick return.
Okay, I was going to ask you, are you going to be a kick returner?
I'm hoping so, yeah. K-Pop reached out to me, Fessy told me, so I'm probably going to be the kick returner this year. So we'll get some of that, and gives me more time to get catches and stuff on the field, too.
So what it's worth, Keelan told me that Parker's the fastest guy on the team.
Yeah.
He knows it. He's like, yeah. Yes, I am.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
It's true. You guys should race in a 40-yard dash.
Probably
can
not.
I have a 12-yard head start?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever seen his video running the 40?
5.16 unofficial.
Really?
Hey, but come on, Parker.
That's fast. That's actually fast.
Bro,
that's actually
really I'm fast. In my 40s.
Don't feed into that.
Oh, that's flying.
I was faster than Tom Brady when he was 23,
yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
All right, so take us post-spring, at your position specifically, but then on the offensive side of the ball, what excites you the most about taking the next step with the wide receivers and on the offensive side?
I think that it's our third year together. Jake, I guess he played the end of that first year that he was here, but there's so much value that comes with reps and time together. And we've become such good friends. Like, we all drove up together. We all spent time today. We were golfing this morning. And I think that's such an important piece of having a tight receiver group. And we just need to get the other guys on board and ready to roll when we get time to put the pads back on. And so I'm just excited to build that camaraderie as an offense, as a wide receiver core, and with Jake. So. And it's coming, so it's been amazing.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. We got a deep room, we got a deep offense, we got playmakers at every position. It's going to be a fun year for sure.
Let's talk about some of those other receivers in the room, beginning with guys like JoJo Phillips and Tay Nakua, who seem to have a nice spring. Cody Hagan is the guy that's coming along. And you got LaMason Waller. How do you feel about the development of the guys that are slated behind both of you? Chase, we'll begin with you.
I have so much confidence in all of them, and they showed it during spring ball, the talent that they really have. And really it just takes that first rep in a game to get that, like, all right, like, I can play, like, I can hang. Like, yeah, the stage is big, there's a lot of fans, but I just made a play in front of, 60,000 people, and then you just keep rolling after that. And I think Cody Higgins is going to be a guy that just keeps rolling. JoJo, Parker, all those guys, the younger kids, once they make their first play in a game, it's gonna start rolling, and they're going to show, their true talent in front of everybody.
Parker, who impressed you of those guys in their development in spring?
Yeah, JoJo and Tay had a big spring ball. It was mainly JoJo this whole spring. He really came along. He was making those tough contested catches, going up and getting the ball. Tay is starting to look like a Nakua. He's starting to run routes like Puka.
Talking like a Nakua?
Oh, yeah. He's starting to talk like a Nakua.
He's always had that.
Yeah. he's starting to fill out. He's looking good.
Do you guys have any big summer plans? Besides, obviously, getting ready for the season, I know you've got your podcast. Mm-hmm. I get to see you quite a bit because of the podcast.
Yeah.
You guys got any big summer plans?
We're going to California this next week just to go train. But just golf. Golf every day.
Yeah. Okay. Can we clear something up? Like, I don't know if everybody knows. Like, Parker, he's the best golfer on the team.
He is the best golfer by far. Yeah.
He's also the fastest.
Fastest,
and he's the best golfer.
Are you the fastest golfer?
Yeah. I don't know. Probably. Yeah.
When you hit good shots, you can play fast.
Yeah.
Not searching for your golf ball.
That's right. That's right.
True.
Chase, before we do have to. Because someone's going to ask, like, what about Chase's beard? Is this man Chase?
Yeah, no, I'll shave it right as we get together as a team. I haven't took any classes this past winter semester, so I kept the beard, and it's kind of like the summer beard, and we'll see. I've never done it before, but once we get back to a group, and I'll keep the honor code and then shave it back off. So no worries. I don't want any comments on Twitter or anything.
To clear the air.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, great to have both.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks
for having us.
All right, we'll wrap up the show from the Fan Fest and do so with BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff. Where has he improved the most this spring, and what does he think of his evolving wide receiver core? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
CBS Sports put out a list of the top 150 college football players, and BYU's Jake Retzlaff is coming in at number 99.
I think he took great strides in spring ball to get better with the way he took care of the ball and with his decision-making and with his leadership. He's very comfortable in the shoes he's in right now, and it shows.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live from the Fan Fest at Sandtown Park in St. George, Utah. Beautiful Saturday evening. Alongside Jason Shepherd, I am Spencer Linton, and joining us now is the BYU quarterback, Jake Retzlaff, who is with us to celebrate with the fans as well. Jake, good to have you back on the show. And I'm hoping you had an opportunity to get out and play golf with the other guys.
Yeah, we had some fun, man. Beautiful course up there and up here, down here in sunny St. George. It was awesome. It was windy to start the day, and we were like, no, not one of those days. And then it just died down towards the end, so a little wind. But by the end of it, it was beautiful. I mean, unbelievable course up at the ledges. Had a lot of fun.
What is this offseason like compared to last offseason, where everybody had BYU picked low and nobody was paying any attention, and now it's the exact opposite for the team, for you personally? Just night and day from a year ago, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, a big difference. I mean, for me, the biggest thing is, like, I'm actually, this is the first time not in a competition, right? So it's a totally different mindset, but I mean, not really at the same time. Like, at the same time, it's pushing myself to develop and get better and be the best every single day. But it's kind of more fun for the veterans to be able to go after it and be like, we know what the standard is. We know what we expect, and now we have to hold it. The thing we say in the quarterback room is the hardest thing about the standard is you are the standard. And so you got to go out there and do it every day. And it's been super fun to challenge other veterans. It's super cool, like, be able to be in practice, be in workouts, and, like, have the veteran, the leaders in the beginning, you know, when it's Bruce Mitchell and Waylon yelling at Keanu Tanavasa, like, all the leaders going at it gets everybody else fired up and gets practice really good. And now is that dead time of year, you know what I mean? Like, but, you know, coming in as a dude who, or as a team who is no longer in the shadows, the mindset's no longer win, it's dominate.
Jake, there have been a couple of key departures. Keelan Marion, wide receiver, Harrison Taggart on the defensive side, linebacker. BYU's working to bring in some other pieces, but from what we've gathered, you feel like the core and the team are still together in spite of what are considered notable departures. So how do you perceive that all? Because they're your friends. You want the best for them individually, but they're no longer with the team. So how do you handle that all?
Yeah, it's a brutal process. You know what I mean? Like, those guys, I love those guys to death. I wish they could stay. I wish the best for them at the same time, like you're saying. But I do believe that we have retained our solid core, our solid individual. This group, I mean, a lot of those guys are here today. Get to hang out with them, like, you know, hanging out with Jason Parker. And then, you know, on the other side of the ball with, you know, Jack and Glasker showing up. It's fun to be able to have that core back. And like you say, we're going to miss those guys. I love those guys. I hope the best for them. But the Cougs are going to be good. We got our solid core. We got the leadership core is sticking around. In that perspective, no leaders have decided to just kind of take off on us. Everybody is bought in, and it's cool to see that. It's in this new age, it's so uncertain that you really actually don't know what's going to happen next. And so being a part of that leadership group, that leadership committee, knowing that you're looking around and all those guys didn't hit the portal, and now Keelan led in a lot of ways, and so did Harry. But when it was the actual leadership group, like, none of those guys left. And we're like, well, our leaderships are bought in and are ready to go. And that just trickles down to the rest of the team. And so that's why we retain so much as we have. And, you know, we'll find the pieces we need. But right now, I love the group we got.
Even when things were going really, really well last year, I know that as competitors, you always want to get better. There's always something you can get better at. So if you want to take that next step, that next level, what does that next level look like for this offense, do you think?
Well, like I said, we're no longer trying to win games. We're trying to dominate games. We're trying to score every possession. This is something in high school that got, you know, stamped into my brain, was score every possession. And, like, I'm saying that to guys. And I said that at halftime of Oklahoma State, and we went out and scored every single possession in the second half against Oklahoma State. And so that is our goal as an offense. We are going to score every possession. It's do your 1-11th at the same time. It's we can't score 30 points on one play. It's making sure we're taking every play for what it is, something that Steve Young has, you know, guided me down that path, where it's like, every single play matters, and what doesn't matter is the last play. No matter what, that last play actually doesn't matter anymore, whether it was good or bad. It's about this play right now, and that's the mindset that this team's going to have, and offensively we're taking big strides towards that, and that starts with the leaders.
All right, we have to end this interview in 60 seconds because the show is ending, but we have to ask you, with you working with John Beck, how is he going to help you as a quarterback?
John Beck is an incredible human being, first of all. Like, he's just a great guy to be around. I get the pleasure to work out with him. We're actually continuing to drive south. We're going down to Southern California now. Me, Chase, and Parker are. Carson Ryan's going to meet us down there. And so, you know, JoJo's already a SoCal guy, so he'll be down there too. And, you know, we're excited to be able to be around him. Unfortunately, he actually won't be down there this week, but I was with him last week, and he's just a dude who knows ball like no other. He's been around it. He sees it. He went through it himself, but he's also so involved with it right now that it's like that is the guy who is the authority figure in the quarterback space, period. Like, and so to be able to just be able to call him or text him whenever I need to, whenever I got questions, and him reaching out and being, hey, I'm going to be in town this week, and or work out and just talk, and be able to get more than just physical things out of every workout. It's the mental stuff. It's talking through things and being like, okay, hey, John, you know, A-Rod's kind of asking us to do this. What do you think about that? He's like, okay, yeah, you can do this by doing this. But if he's asking you to do that, yeah, he might be asking too much. But, you know, John's awesome. I love him.
Great stuff. So glad you're working with him. We appreciate you spending some time with us, and hope you enjoy the rest of the Fan Fest and your trip to Israel as well.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited.
You got it, man. Our thanks to today's guests, Kalani Sitake, Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, Tanner Wall, Will Farron, Chase Roberts, Parker Kingston, and you just heard from him, Jake Retzloff.
All of our shows on demand, BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Dave Rose. Go Cougs!
Go Cougs!